Okay, today's daf is Chulin Daf Yud. We're going to start six lines from the top, seven lines. Tnan Hatan. Okay, there's a Mishnah that says, it's a Mishnah in Truma. Gimel Mashkin Asurim Mishum Giloy. Okay, we talked about Giloy the other day, yesterday. By the way, I said overnight. That's because when we leave things overnight, that's the relevance of Giloy. But here we're going to learn that it's even during the day, if you leave them without looking, without watching, and then we're going to see how much time do you leave them, that it's going to be an issue. Gimel Mashkin Asurim Mishum Giloy. Mayim V'yayim V'chalav. Okay, these are the three drinks, the three liquids that we're worried that a snake might come in and pour its venom into. Water, wine, and milk. Kama yishuvi yuasulin. Okay, how much time do we leave them that's going to forbid them? Kadesh yetzeh harachash mimakom karov yishkeh. The rachash, which is the snake, okay, it sounds like nachash, right? I don't know where the word rachash comes from, but enough time for the snake to come out of its hiding place and drink. Okay, so if you leave your cup of water for enough time that the snake could, in theory, come out of its hole and drink the water, that's enough. So now they say, well, there's a bit of a problem with this because, let's just wait one minute. So now the kama makom karov, right? Where does it mean from a nearby place? What do we mean by this? Okay, there's a concern maybe he just comes out from under the, he'll come out somehow from under the handle of the cup and go into the cup and drink. And you won't notice.
This is daytime.
Daytime. Okay, that's what I'm saying. Like, we usually think of this issue as a nighttime issue, but they're saying basically, as long as there's enough time for the snake to get out of its hiding place, come and drink from the cup, then already he can pour its venom in. So now they bring up a good problem. If that's the shi'ur, now what's the concern? We're worried that you have this cup and you didn't notice that the snake came and drank from the cup. So if you only leave enough time for the snake to get out of its hole and drink, then you're going to see the snake in that amount of time. In other words, if that's not enough time, because that's enough time for the snake to get in there and drink, but not enough for the snake to run away and hide again. So that shi'ur of time doesn't make any sense, because then ha-kachazele, then you'll see the snake. If it's just enough time for the snake to drink, then you'll see it, and then you'll know. In other words, we're concerned that you didn't see the snake come, and you just think, oh, the cup was left uncovered, there's no problem, and you didn't notice that the snake actually ate from there.
Therefore, they say,
in other words, you need enough time for the snake to come out of his hole, drink, and go back to his hole. And that's the shi'ur of time, that if there's enough time that the snake could have done that, then your cup is pasul.
They don't talk about the temperature of, like, it could be hot water, but...
It doesn't make a difference. Okay. I don't think... there were all sorts of issues we brought up, I don't remember them all now, about certain times when the snake wouldn't drink it, right? There's certain, either it's certain liquids, I guess, maybe, or it was... We learned it before about there's certain things... Well, first of all, there was about Avodah Zarah. We learned it in Avodah Zarah. There were certain things about... There were certain conditions that would make it, but I don't think it was hot or cold or anything like that. Okay. Itmar. Hashochet. Now we're moving back to the sakim. So, by the way, yesterday, I forgot to point this out. I want to be much more clear than yesterday. We said there that the whole thing, that after you shecht, you have to check the simanim. So I forgot to mention exactly what you have to check. You have to check that the majority of each of the simanim, the kana and the veshet, were actually slaughtered properly. Okay, so you have to do a check inside of the kana and the veshet, and if you didn't check them, that they were cut off properly, then it's no good. In the back of the Morot HaPayomi Gemara, there's pictures of the kana and the veshet. So if you want to look, they're a little...
Kana is the windpipe?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. And the...
And the veshet is covered.
Right, I think...
Veshet.
Right. Okay, so now we're going to talk about the knife. Itmar. Hashochet besakim v'nimtzeit pguma. Okay, you checked the knife before you do the shechita. Now we're going to talk about, there's a concern that while you're doing the shechita, and maybe you cut one siman, the knife already gets pagum, right, which has a nick in it, which then means that when you slaughter the next, when you cut the second siman, you now have a sakim pagum, and you can't use that sakin anymore. So now they say, what if you shechted with a knife And then after, now you're supposed to check the knife. After, what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to shecht, check the knife before shechita, and check the knife after shechita to make sure that it didn't get messed up along the way. But let's say you didn't do that. And then, hashochet b'sakin v'nimtzeit peguma. So then later on that day, you realize that the sakin is pagum. Amar Rav Huna, afilu shiber ba'atzamot kol hayom, psula, chayshinan shema ba'or nifkima. Even if you spent that whole day, okay, or it doesn't matter if it was the whole day, but you use that knife to cut bones later, right? The assumption is that bones could break the knife because they're very hard. So Rav Huna comes and says, okay, the Itmar means there's a machloket and moraim, so we're going to see two opinions. Rav Huna says, even if you broke bones with that later that day, which then what might you assume? That's what messed up the knife and not your shechita. Still, it's pasul, your shechita from earlier in the day is pasul. Cheshinan shema be'or nifkema. We're concerned that maybe the skin of the animal messed up the knife. So as you started cutting, and I said in between the two simanim, but even the first siman, it could be as you got into the skin, as you tore the skin, already it messed up the knife. Okay, that's his concern. Rav Chista amar kshera, shema be'etzem nifgema. Rav Chista says, no, it's kasher because we can assume, right, it's likely, okay, shema is used here in a bit of a different way, but it's likely that it was broken by the bones. We can assume the bones broke the knife, which means that your shechita was fine because your shechita happened before you started cutting those bones. Now we're going to have a whole diyum of these opinions. Bishlama Rav Huna kishmate. So we understand Rav Huna because he said, right, because, right, what do we mean here, kishmate? Because he...
It's consistent with what he said.
Right, what he said yesterday. Because he said yesterday, he was the whole thing about the, it's bechezkat isur, right? Remember he said, be'ema b'chaya bechezkat isur omedet ad shivadala b'men ishchita. So his whole thing is that until you know that for sure it's shechted properly, then we're going to assume it's bechezkat isur. And here, it's bechezkat isur, because you don't know for sure that the shechita was done properly. Ela Rav Chista Maitaima, what's his reason? Amar lecha etzem vaday pogem. The bone for sure will mess up a knife. Or safek pogem, but the skin, the hide, is not so clear it's going to mess up the knife. Safek lo, right? Safek pogem, safek lo pogem, right? It's 50-50, or, right, we don't know. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. Have a safek uvadai, so you have something that's a vadai, which is bones definitely break knives, and hide maybe break a, maybe will break a knife. Ve'ein safek motzimi de vadai. We have a concept that safek doesn't, right, if you have a safek and you have a vadai, we're going to go with the vadai. So here we have the vadai bones, so that's a vadai, okay? We're going to see that later, it's going to seem that the Gemara is a little changing their tone about why Rav Chista's matir. But right now we're going to assume he's matir because he says, ein safek motzimi de vadai. If you have a vadai, the vadai is the bones broke the knife. And therefore, the fact that maybe there's a possibility of the hide having broken it doesn't really matter. Mativ Rava, l'siyue l'Rav Huna. So now Rava brings a question on Rav Chista, which is also a support for Rav Huna. Okay, that's what it means, right? Mativ Rava, l'siyue l'Rav Huna. He questions something, which becomes a support for Rav Huna. Taval ve'ala, v'nimtza alav davar chotzeh. Someone goes in the mikvah. Okay, totally different issue. You go in the mikvah, and you get out of the mikvah, and it turns out you have something chotzitz on your body. Now, you don't realize this right away. You realize it later in the day. Now, this is just like the knife, right? You realize later in the day that the knife was pagum. You don't know how far do we go back to assume it was pagum. How far do we go back to say you have a chotzitza? Now, remember, Rav Chista says this is all fine. We assume that since you were breaking bones, right, you were cutting bones, it must be from the bones that happen later in the day. But here we're going to see the opposite. Let's say you're working with cement, okay? And you're working with cement all day long after you went in the mikvah. And it turns out you have cement on your body. You realize later, oh my God, I have cement on my body. Maybe that was on from before I went to the mikvah. Lo altalo tefillah ad sheomar. So his tefillah doesn't work. Right? Even though presumably the cement got on you from later in the day because you were working with cement all day. So lo al talo tefila ad shiomar bari li shelo haya alai kodem lechen. Unless you know for sure that the cement wasn't on you when you went in the mikvah, no good. Okay? So here we say the opposite is true, because there we said we assume the sakim is fine. We can, because we have a vadai, which is you were cutting bones, that must have made it. Also here we have a vadai, you're working with cement. And yet, and you started after you went to the mikvah, and yet we don't rely on that. So the Gemara says, "V'ha hacha de vadai taval." Here's our vadai. For sure, he went to the mikvah. Safek hayala, safek lo hayala. Right, and then it's only a safek. It's a bit of a different use of the vadai and the safek. Beka'ate safek umotzi mide vadai. But it's the same idea that we have. Right, normally we'd say, "Well, for sure, you went to the mikvah." Safek. You had a chatzitza safek. You didn't have a chatzitza. So let's go with the vada. You went to the mikvah. So now the answer, right? So they say, in this case, what do we see? We don't go that way. And the safek is motzi mishum vada. So now they say, okay, those two cases aren't comparable. We're going to have a lot of back and forth here. Shanei hatam di'ika lememar ha'amed tameh al cheskato. In the case of the mikvah, we can say, well, since there's a safek, it's true we have a vada. You went to the mikvah, but we keep him in his chezkato. What was his chazakah before the mikvah? Mm-hmm. His chazakah with it was that he was tamei. So we can say the mikvah didn't work to take him out. This goes with what we talked about yesterday. When someone's bechezkat isur, you need something to take him out of it. Here we have a suffix about whether the mikvah worked or not, whether there was a chatzitza. So because of that, right, a chatzitza, just to be clear, in case, right, it's something that blocks someone, when you go to the mikveh, there's something on you, and you can't, it's not considered mikveh if there's something blocking, you know, something on your body. So now, we're going to say, okay, so we would say that. But then they say, no, but you could say the exact same thing with shechita. In other words, that's not, you're going to say, that's only true by mikveh, but not by shechita. But by shechita, the same thing is true. Ha-chanami, ha-ameh behemal cheskata, ve-emra lo nishchita. You could say the same thing by shechita, because what did we say yesterday? The behemah is the cheskat yisur until you know the nishchita kalacha. So here you have, so they say, no, that's different, because hare shechuta lefanecha, but the animal is in fact in front of us slaughtered. So because the animal slaughtered, right, it's not going to work so well either, don't worry. Okay, this is a lot of, I'm not even going to go into each one and try to explain it totally clearly, because it's clear the comparison. They're trying to say these are different, but at the end they're saying they're the same. You could say, this is slaughtered right in front of you, so you know it's slaughtered, and the safek is only whether the knife had a nick in it, right? Even though you checked it, I know nicks before, maybe it has a nick in it now, but that's not, it happens to be slaughtered, so you can't say, ha-mer ha-cheskata, that it was aser. But they could say the same thing, ha-chanami, ha-re taval lefanecha, he already went to the mikvah, he's tahor. Now you might say, one's tangible, one's intangible, but what's the difference? He's already post-tefillah. So, what do they say? Hayt yadol be'reuta. But there, by tefillah, there's a safek because we see a chatzitza on his body. So they say the same thing by the knife. And as they keep thinking, maybe we'll come up with an answer that's different, but no. Hachanavi it yadol be'reuta. But also by the knife, we have a nick in the knife. In other words, in the end, they're both the same. Both cases, we have, it's been resolved, so to speak, but we have a safek about it. Was it done properly? So really, they're all the same. Now we're going to finally get to the difference. Sakin itrai behema lo itrai. But when it comes to the, let's start with the mikveh case. Where's the psul, the safek? The safek is on the body of the person. He has a chatzitza on his body. When it comes to the animal, there's no problem with the animal. It's a problem with an accessory, the knife. Because it's not on the body of the animal, like with the mikveh case, where it's on the person's body, therefore we're going to say there's a big safek here, we can't ignore it. When it comes to the knife being safek and not the animal itself, we're going to say, en safek motzi mide vadai. Okay, so we answer up our question. Meitive, and as remember, the question was on Rav Chista, who said it's kasher. We tried to say, but when it comes to tefillah, we say, safek motzi mide vadai, and then we reject that question because we say there are two different cases. Okay, another question. We're talking about a bird. Okay, we shech the veshet, and then the gargaret, which is the part in the throat of the animal that's like the kaneh, is shmuta. It's out of place. Now, if the kaneh is out of place, then what do we say? That's a case of the animal could be a trefa. Okay? The question is now going to be, just like this case, okay, if, right, you cut the veshed and you find out that the kane now, right, the gargaret, is out of place. So, what do we say? Kshera. Nishmita, right, oh, sorry. In this case, I wasn't clear. First you shech the veshed, and then afterwards the gargaret detaches, that's okay. But nishmita har gargaret v'achar kach shachatet haveshet, if first the gargaret comes out of place and then you shachted the veshet, psula. Okay? That's a psul. Because then it means the animal's a trefa before you perform the shechita. So that's a problem. What if shachatet haveshet v'nimsa har gargaret shmuta? So now you shech the veshet and then you see that the gargaret is already detached. Ve'eino yodea im kodem shechita nishmita. You don't know at what point was it severed. Was it, you know, detached? Was it detached beforehand, the shechita, which means the animal would be a trefa, or did it detach after the shechita, in which case the animal is kasher? So again, it's a suffix situation. Zehayama said, this case in fact happened. Vamru, kol safek b'shechita pasul. Okay, they said, any suffix when it comes to shechita is pasul. So here we have a case. We're not sure was the animal a trefa or not. We have a reason to believe the animal could have been a trefa. We're going to say it's pasul. But when they said this, they could have just said very simply, it's pasul. The fact that they said kol safek b'shchita pasul means they want to teach you something else. So, kol safek b'shchita la tuye mai. What do you think they were trying to include? My lav la tuye ki agavna. Don't you think they're trying to include our case? Which is, right, again, what was our case? Where you shecht it with a knife, and then it turns out after you didn't check the knife, and later that day you saw the sakim was pagum. You saw it had these ridges in it, or, right, it wasn't flat anymore, or sharp anymore. So now what happens? Don't we assume when they say kol safek b'shchita is pasul, this is what they meant, which means what? It's a question on Rav Chista, who said it's kshera. So they say, lo, you don't necessarily have to say that that was what they meant. You could say, la tuye safek shaha safek daras. Okay, or for that in case, any of the five psuli. It was what they mean, kol safek b'shchita pasul, if you're not sure whether you waited in between the simanim, you're not sure whether you didn't do it in the back and forth motion and you cut one, chop right in, you know, and the whole, that's the thing that we're concerned about, that any kind of safek, but not a safek, later in the day, you find the knife was pagum, you know, not that kind of stuff. Okay. So now they say, umayshna hatam. Umayshna, what's the difference between that safek and this safek? Safek shaha, safek daras, versus safek the knife was pagum. Hatam ityadalebe reyuta babehema. Hacha sakin itrai, behema lo itrai. Same answer they gave in the first answer, which is, the difference is that in that case, we're worried, safek, you did something to the animal wrong, incorrectly. And this is, safek, you had a problem with the knife. Again, it's in the knife and not the animal. And the safek the concern that develops later is a concern that has to do with some outside factor and not the animal itself. And that's why we're going to treat them differently. Okay, that's our two questions against Rav Chista. Now we're going to say, V'hilchata kavate de Rav Huna kishaloshiber ba'etzem. V'hilchata kavate de Rav Chista kishashiber ba'etzem. Now they're going to say that we're going to paskin like Rav Huna and say it's pasul if you see later in the day that there's a pagam in the knife, but only in the case if you didn't use it to cut bones. Okay? If you use it to cut bones, then we're going to say we hold like Rav Chista. One can assume that since you cut bones with the knife, it was the bones that messed up the knife. But if you didn't use the knife for bones, then we're going to say, we can assume that it happened as you were doing the shechita, right? As you cut through the skin before the shechita, which means the shechita is going to be pasul. Now, we thought, right, it said, as we started off with this machloket, right, Rav Huna said, even shiber ba'atzamo kaleyom psula. Right, and Rav Chista said, "Shera Hashem be'etzem nifkaman." We assume the machloket was only if you were cutting bones, and then we had right the vadai and the safek. But now they're going to say, "Michlal." From here, that we say the halachas like Rav Chista when shiber ba'etzem, but when lo shiber ba'etzem, we hold like Rav Huna. That means that they actually both argue in both they have an argument in both cases. Because we're going to say, right, if Rav Chisda agreed that if you didn't break any if you didn't cut bones, then we can assume the shechita is no good, which is what we thought, because we only assumed because they're breaking bones. But since, so it presumes, Michal, from here one can infer that Rav Chisda af agav de lo shiber ba'etzem, right? Even if you didn't break bones, the sakin, we can say, was fine during the shechita, even though we don't have something to assume it came from the broken bone, from when you broke the bones. So then they're going to say, Ela b'may ifgum, according to Rav Chisda, remember, according to Rav Huna, he said it could be when the knife hits the hide of the animal, it can get pagum. So now, what's Rav Chisda going to say? Rav Chisda doesn't think that. So how could you have messed up the knife if you didn't use it to cut bones? What messed up the knife? So he's going to say, in other words, remember, he has to say the knife got messed up after the shechita. If you haven't used the knife, how could it have gotten messed up? So what is he? What can we answer? Ema be'etzem demifreket ifkum. We can assume that when you went in, you cut the kanan, the veshet, and then back there was the neck bone. And you hit into the neck bone after the shechita was done. So that's why he's not concerned to passel the knife. Because it's a pasul your shechita, because he claims that the knife was nifsal after the shechita when it hit into the bone in the neck of the animal. Okay, so that's the assumption. Hava uvda, there was a case now. Vitaref Rav Yosef ad shlesar chiyuta, a shochet was shechting all day long, and he didn't check his knife in between. And what happened? At the end of the day, he finds out the knife is pagum. It came before Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef said, taraf means he caused them to be trefas, the way we use the term trefa, not an animal trefa, but that basically they were shechted improperly, 13 animals, okay? And he trefed up 13 animals. He said, your shechita was no good. Kiman, so now they want to know, kiman, according to who did he go? We're assuming ki Rav Huna, vafilu bekamaita. If you say it was Rav Huna, then what would you say? Then all 13, what did he do? 13 animals means all he shechted was 13 animals. And according to Rav Huna, right, once you find the knife was pagum, every shechita you did is pasul. So we're assuming when he said 13 animals, he meant, like Rav Huna, and even the first one he shechted was no good. Now the Gemara says, no, one could claim otherwise. One could say like this, lo ki Rav Chisda ulevar mikamaita. Now Rav Chisda only meant, when you find out the knife is pagum, because what did Rav Chisda say? Rav Chisda said that maybe, when did you mess up the knife? When it hit the bone at the end of the shechita. So the first one is fine, because it only happened at the end, but the next ones are all messed up. So when he said 13, let's say he meant exactly 13, so there were 14 animals, the first one was okay. All the rest of them, let's hope he kept the first one separate and didn't get mixed up with all the others, but then we'll get into other dinei sfikot. Okay, but the rest of them are problematic because we can assume he might have hit the bone in the first animal and it would then be a problem for all the rest. So then they say, wait a minute, but if, 1 second, v'ibayt ema lo'olam ki Rav Huna. Alternatively, one could say, no, it has to be Rav Huna. Why? If Rav Chisda's whole thing is that we're tolel laheter, right? What does he mean? He means we're going to assume it's mutar unless we know otherwise, right? We're going to go and say it's kasher, even though maybe, you know, you nick the knife at some point. If his whole thing is we'd rather just machshir it, and he's trying to find it out, then we could claim, and that's his whole thing is as long as we have something to be toled on, let's be toled on that. So if that's the case, why don't we just say that we're toled on the fact that when did you hit the bone? After the last one, in which case everything else is fine until there. Okay? So we're basically saying if he's going in a matir direction, then we should let him be matir and say that, well, one can assume that the mess up of the knife happened at the very end, in which case they're all kasher, which means that Rav Yosef would have to hold like Rav Huna. So this is all just trying to figure out, do we have to say he held like Rav Huna if he trafed up these 13 animals? Or, he didn't trafe them up, but he called them trefas. Or can we say it's also Rav Huna? I'm sorry, can we say it's also Rav Chisda And Rav Chisda would claim it happened after the first animal, and then it would only be after the first animal. So there's a debate about how to understand that. Amarle Rav Acha Bereda Rav Le Rav Ashi. So now Rav Acha comes, and Rav Acha is going to bring a... One second. Right. Amarle Rav Acha Bereda Rav Le Rav Ashi. Rav Kahana... Right, he's just going to say halacha here. Rav Kahana Matzrich Bidikuta... Ben kochada v'chada. He says, Rav Kahana says that when you shecht an animal, when you're shechting during the day, you must check the knife between every single animal. Kiman. So now we're going to say, who is he holding like? Again, which does this go according to? Kirav Huna ula mifsal kamaita. We're assuming that he wants you to check in between each one so that maybe you've messed up the previous one, right? That's like Rav Huna. In other words, check the knife, because if the knife is messed up now, then your previous shechita is going to be messed up, right? We're going to cancel out your previous shechita because maybe it got messed up on the way in when you hit the hide. So then they say, lo, kirav chista ulach shurei batraita. No, you could say that maybe this holds like Rav Chisda, and we're trying to say, right? We just don't want you to mess up the next one. So check your knife in between each one to make sure your knife has no nicks now, because maybe you hit the bone in the back of the neck, in which case your next shechita will be no good. So the question is, are we trying to look backwards to say, make sure the knife is okay? Again, obviously Rav Huna also wants it for the next one, but he's also checking for the previous one. Or maybe it's Rav Chisda, and then we're talking about the next one. So then I say, no, it can't be Rav Chisda, because Ihachi Tibainami Bidikat Chacham. There's an assumption that to check the knife before shechita has to be done by a chacham. To check the knife after shechita can be done by the shochet himself. So if you're worried about the upcoming shechita, then you need a bidikat chacham. If you're only worried about the previous shechita, then the shochet himself can do it. And here it doesn't say anywhere, you need a bidikat chacham. So it must be we're talking about the previous shechita. Now some people ask the question, even according to Rav Huna, it's true you're doing it for the previous shlita, but you're also doing it for the next shlita. So then you'd also be ha chacham. But okay, we'll leave that question aside right now. So now, what does he answer? And here comes the really interesting part of today's daf. Eid echa ne'eman b'isurin. Okay, in other words, what does he say? Right? We trust one person to, in any case of isurim, right? We can accept an eid echa. Right? Normally, what do we say? Two edim, you need two edim's testimony, right? For an alpishnayim edim yakum davar. What is davar? Davar is mamon, okay, when it comes to financial stuff. But when it comes to isurim, we allow one aid to testify. Okay, now, let's talk about this for a minute. I just want to, one second, there's one thing I wanted to just see before we move on and get into this. Right. What we're saying here is, okay, so the Gemara first assumed that you need a bdikah v'chacham, okay, for checking. That's, again, what did we say? There's an assumption that you need a bdikah v'chacham to check the knife before you do the first shechita. Then, what about checking in between? According to that, it seems like it's fine for anyone to do it. So first we said that must be Rav Huna, because we're only talking about you're checking the previous shechita. Because if we were talking about Rav Chisda, he would say you need a chacham to check the next shechita. Then we say, no. In between shechitas, you can rely on the shochet himself, because eidecha ne'eman bisurim. Now, why is eidecha ne'eman bisurim? So first of all, what does it mean, eidecha ne'eman bisurim? What kind of bisurim are we talking about? So we're talking about things like, okay, this comes up, the main sugya for this is in Gittin, okay, where it talks about maturing eshed ish, and we talk about, how do we know, they learn davar davar mi erva, ve'en davar be'erva pachot mishnayim also, so it's isurim of erva, you need two, like eshed ish and all that. Like to say a woman was divorced and she wasn't, you know, let's say they say she slept with someone and they say, well, she was divorced. How do you know she's divorced? Let's say there's no get. So you can have two witnesses come and testify. It's not enough for one witness in those cases, except for unique cases like your husband went overseas and no one knows he died and there's only one witness. And then for aguno purposes, we allow it. But so I want to talk about a few things here. So the Rambam said, okay, first of all, The Ramban, the Rashban, the Ran, based on the Yerushalmi, okay, now what I read said that it's not actually in the Rishalmi that we have. Okay, but they say based on the Rishalmi, it's based on logic. That if you didn't say that, okay, Ein lecha adam shemitachsein etz chavero. If you don't hold Eidecha Neman Bisurim, right, this is why you can go eat in anyone's house. Okay, because again, how do you, well, then this is the whole thing. How can you eat in anyone's house? So they have, you know, generally people say it's if someone's Shomer Shabbat or something, you have to have some knowledge of it, because what's an Eidecha? It has to be a kosher A, which means they keep halacha, right? Certain basic halachot. So if you know they keep basic halachot, then you can trust them about their kashrut. And otherwise, no one will be able to eat in anybody's house if every time you need to bring a chacham to, you know, or you need two witnesses, or you need something, right, to prove it. So that's one answer. Rashi actually says it's learned from somewhere else. If you look in Rashi, Edechanema Bisurin, it's right before the lines get wide in Rashi. To kol yachid v'yachid he'minato Torah, okay, everyone to believe, from where did they get this? Dafka from our issue. V'zavachta b'mibkarecha u'mitzonecha, v'shachat et ben abakar, okay, what does it say there? First of all, what do we know? A zar can, right, you can shech your own korban. And the Kohanim eat the meat. Nobody ever said anywhere you have to get Edim to prove that your Shechita was a good Shechita. Okay? So Rashi says the source is a Pasuk, and the Svardim of the middle of the Rishonim time period, the Rashba, the Ran, the Ramban, they're all from the same school. They all say it's based on logic that otherwise no one could ever eat in anybody's house. So it's interesting the debate between them about this Eidecha Neman Bisurin. Okay, so if you hold Eidecha Neman Bisurin, then there's another issue, which is in Gittin it says that it's only, we believe Eidecha Neman Bisurin as long as the Davar wasn't Huchzak Bisur. Now our case is Huchzak Bisur. The animal wasn't kosher to eat. Or I'll give you another example, Truma de Masrot. Right, it's tevel before. So how do you allow that if it's only, you know, to remove a chazaka? You need two edim according to the Gemara in Gittin. So what did they answer? There's a difference between, right, there's a whole debate there in the Rishonim there in shchita and in tevel, which is stuff that Truma Masrot weren't taken. Since it's biado l'taken, you can fix it by yourself. Therefore, it neutralizes the chazaka. Okay? We allow Eidechad is Ne'aman Bisurin, even though it's hit Uchzak Bi'isur, because you can easily fix it. Anything, that's this whole thing, right? Lo Shavik Inish Isur of Heter of Achal Isur. People aren't going to leave Heter and eat it Bi'isur when they can easily fix it. So there's an assumption that if someone's giving you food and it's easy enough to take Truma Masrot, they took Truma Masrot. It's easy enough for them to shecht it properly, then they shechted it properly. So there's this assumption. Okay, we saw this assumption before. Here we're using it in a little bit of a different way. Okay, so now we just said that since Eidechad is Ne'aman Bisurin in Shechita, you don't need the B'dika Chacham in between. Well then, let's take it one step further. Yihachim Yikar Namilo. In theory, you don't need the B'dika Chacham even before the first time. So why do we need this B'dika Chacham to check the night before the Shochet starts out? Hamar Rabbi Yochanan, lo amru laharot sakin lechacham elam epnik vodo shel chacham. So the real reason we show the knife to the chacham is because of the kavod of the chacham. Okay, in other words, we want to treat the chachamim properly. We want to show that we respect their opinion. So we show them the knife beforehand just to show kavod to the chacham. Okay. So now it's interesting because I looked up later authorities, and basically over time this changed. And since nowadays they don't show it to a chacham to check, because the chachamim were no longer makpid on their kavod and didn't mind if the shochet, they were happy not to be bothered, right? They were okay. And since the shochet, we're assuming the shochtim know the halachot, they know what the knife's supposed to be like, so there's no longer this need to show to the chacham.
Yeah, on yesterday's staff, they were supposed to learn.
Right. The Talmidei Chachamim were supposed to know this, exactly. And then it's like wasted that they learned this, right? Which is maybe why it's not, I mean, they do learn it for smicha, but it's less important than it used to be. Okay. Minaha milta da'amar rabbanan, okay milka milta achazke. Now they want to know this whole thing about chazakah. Again, chazakah is used in different uses in all different cases. What we're talking about here is this chazakah that something is in its state, and unless we know otherwise, right, we assume it retains its status as before. Okay, this is what we had yesterday with Rav Huna, right? That when Rav Huna said that behema b'chayeha b'chezkat isur omedet ad shivada lecha b'men shchita. Okay, so how do we know that okay milta achezke? Amar b'shmor bar nachmani, amar b'yonatan, amar kra. We're going to learn it from a pasuk. Pasuk by bayit menugah. Okay, what happens with bayit menugah? What's that? That's a house that's leprous. The Kohen goes into the house, he checks the house, and then it says, so he sees a nega. It says, v'yatza kohen min habayit al petach habayit. He leaves the house and goes to the entrance to the house. V'yizgir et habayit shivat yamin. And then he declares it closed, quarantine, so to speak. Right? He quarantines the house for 7 days. And when he's mazgir the bayit, he basically claims this nega is a problem. So he goes out of the house, closes the house. According to Rashi, he actually physically closes the door. According to the Mishnah Lechem on the Rambam, he says from the Rambam, he doesn't think that that's what it means. His reading of the Rambam is that it doesn't mean he actually closes the door. It means he declares it. Okay, either which way, he has to leave the house and go to the entrance of the house to declare it. Okay, either he declares it in words or he closes the door. And by closing the door, right, his gear milashon lizgor, close. Okay, right. We understand his gear like to quarantine the house. So that's how the Mishnah Lechem understands the Rambam. It's to declare it quarantined. But Rashi says it's actually to close the door. And he closed it for 7 days, and that turns it into, right, then it becomes, when he is maskir, the bayit, that makes it become a bayit menuga. Now, what's the issue? So there's a certain shi'ur that he's supposed to see on the wall, and then what happens is he opens it 7 days later, and he sees. If it got smaller, then it's already fine. Okay, so the assumption is these nega'im sometimes shrunk in size. So now they say, well, if he goes outside the house and quarantines it from outside the house, dilma adinafik va'ata batzer le'shiura. Maybe by the time he walked out of the house, let's say it was the exact size, and maybe in those few seconds it took him to leave the house, it shrunk in size. And maybe by the time he goes out to quarantine the house, it's no longer that size. So what do you learn from here? The fact that he goes outside the house to do it teaches you that what? The whole thing that, okay, b'chezkate, right? El alav mishum de amrinan, okay, achezke. We're going to assume that if a minute ago it had, the nega was the right size, right, a problematic size, then we're going to assume it keeps its status until we know otherwise. And since we don't know otherwise, because the Kohen didn't see at this point that it shrunk, in 7 days he comes back and he checks it. If it shrunk, it shrunk. But we don't assume that it shrunk in that minute because we just assume it retains its original status. So that's the proof for why we would say, okay, achezke. Matkefla Rav Acha bar Yaakov, v'dilma kegon sheyatza derech achorav, dekachazele. Now maybe, when he leaves the house, and the whole thing is, it says, v'yatza kohem in abayit, which means the yitziah has to happen, and then the skira can happen. So he says, maybe he walks backwards. And the whole time he has to be watching the nega to make sure it doesn't get any smaller. And it's not because we're relying on a chazaka. So Amar le Abaye, shtei tshuvot b'davar. Oh, sorry, did I read the whole thing? Dekachaze le kinafak, right? And he can see it while he's going out. So Abaye says, I have two answers to that. Chada d'yitzia derech achorav lo shma yitzia. Number one, it's not called yatza if you walk backwards. A yitzia is a normal yitzia. He has to leave the house, meaning he turns around, he turns his back to the house, and he walks out. Walking backwards is not called yitziah, which we're going to question soon. Maybe it is. Ve'od, now Dabai is going to bring two problems with this question of Rav Acha. In other words, again, what do we have? Proof for Okechazke from the Bayit Menuga. Rav Acha says, no, that's not a proof, because in theory you could walk out backwards. Abai says, no, number one, you can't walk out backwards because that's not yitziah. Ve'od, even if you walk out backwards, what's the problem? Let's say the nega was behind the door. So while you're walking backwards, you can't be looking at the nega. It's blocked by the door. And if you want to say, maybe he's supposed to open a window in the door, okay? He has to open a window so that he could see through it to be able to see. Okay, they don't talk about, there might be some part in the house where you can't see, like the angle or something. Like maybe it's on the wall behind the door. But okay, but maybe you could open a window and then you'd be able to see it as you were closing the door. But there's no chance you need to open a window because v'hatnan bayit afel ein potrim bo chalonot lirot et nig'o. It says in a Mishnah that if the Kohen's supposed to see the nega, now let's say the house is so dark he can't see the nega. Let's say the house has no windows. So he's in the house and he can't see anything. So he doesn't have to open windows in order to see the nega. So therefore, same thing here. He shouldn't have to open a window in order to watch the nega as he's walking out. So Amarle Rava. Rava says, I don't agree with any of your questions. I have responses to both your questions, as we remember. What did I say? Number one, Yitzia Derech HaChorav is not Yitzia. Number two, they don't make him open a window. How do we know they don't make him open a window? Because, right, to see behind the door? Because, right, and that's really what he says, what if it was behind the door? And we know you don't open windows because it says, by it I fail, you don't open windows. So Rav is going to say, neither of your questions are questions, which means we're back to Rav Acha's question saying, maybe he just walks backwards and you can't say that, you know, maybe he really could walk backwards and be watching the whole time, and then it doesn't teach us anything about Chazaka. So here comes Rav Amarleit. Kamar tadera yitziah derech lacharav lo shema yitziah. Kohen gadol be yom ha-kippurim yochiach. Dichtiv be yitziah. Right, the Kohen gadol, it says in the pasuk, he leaves the Kodesh Kodeshim. Utnan, and it says in the Mishnah there, Yatza ubalo derech knisato. Right, he goes in and goes out. He goes out the same way he went in, meaning he walks out the same way people walk away from the kotel with that. So the Kohen Gadol, this is where it comes from. The Kohen Gadol wouldn't, when he walked out of the Kodesh Kodeshim, he would walk backwards. He wouldn't turn his back on the Kodesh Kodeshim. So he would go in the same way. And yet the pasuk says Yatza. So there you see, you could have a Yitzia derech hachorav, walking backwards. That was all. Do you call the house a bayit menuga? There's no need to open windows. But in this case, he already saw there was a nega. Once he sees there's a nega, maybe there's a requirement to keep going, you know, to keep watching it the whole time before he's maskir. And therefore, this is not the same thing. So now they say, Tanya kelo k'Rav Acha bar Yaakov. But now we're going to see a braita that's not like Rav Acha bar Yaakov, which is going to prove that, again, if we knock out Rav Acha bar Yaakov, we're left with our proof that you can learn from Bayit Menuga this issue of something stays in its original stat, right? Chazaka. Ukim b'chezkate. If the Kohen saw the nega, even if he didn't, right, by the time he goes outside, it could be it got smaller, but we don't care. We assume it's the way it was originally. Because it says here, V'yatzah kohen min habayit. Yachol yelech l'toch beito v'yazkir. It says he leaves the house and then he's muskir the house. So maybe he could do something in the interim. Maybe he could go home and come back. Or maybe he could go home and his house is so close, he could close the door, when someone suggests you could do this, with a rope. That's, he holds this rope or something, I don't know, is that right? And then he somehow closes the door with the rope, or there's some way he could do it from his house. Maybe it doesn't need to be right there. V'yazkir. Tamud lomar al petach habayit. Says he has to be in petach habayit. I petach habayit yachol yamot tachan amashkof. Maybe he could stand under the doorway. V'yazkir. Tamud lamar min habayit. He has to actually leave the house. Ad sheyetze min habayit kulo. Haketzad. So what's he supposed to do? Omei bitzad ha-mashkof u-mazgir. Okay, so he has to stand next to the mashkof, but not under the mashkof, and then he closes it from there. Uminayin shim alach l'toch beito v'yizgir. O sh'ama b'toch habayit v'yizgir. Shezgiro muskar. How do you know, though, if he did go to his house and then did the skira, or he stood in the house and did it, it would work. Tamud lamar v'yizgir tabayit mikol makom. So what do you see? That, in theory, right, b'di'eved, if he went to his house and did it from there, it would be fine. So what do you see? Right, this works better when you say the Rambam, that he just declares it. He could go to his house and declare it from there. So what do you see? He certainly isn't still looking at the nega, okay? So there you have it. No, because Rav Acha bar Yaakov could answer, kegon dekaima dara degavre, v'amra kedekai kai. In other words, in theory, he could go to his house, but have an assembly line of people, okay? And the first one is always watching and telling the next one. The next one tells the next one. The next one tells the next one until it gets to the Kohen. And the Kohen could hear, all is fine. It still looks the same. And he could be muskir from there, okay? In theory, they say you could, in theory, have just one person, but then the Kohen wouldn't know it. But still, it could be that they was checking, and later they could check. That's also a possibility. But here they say, you know, they basically have a whole assembly line of people, in which case, maybe Rav Acha's right that this isn't a good proof, because in theory, there could be some way the Kohen could do it without actually seeing it. No, according to this, 1 second. Right. So in theory, he might still be looking at it, and it wouldn't teach you anything about Okima Chazakeh. Okay. That's it for today.